right, I've been talking about telling stories about Joan Rivers. Today is that day. I'm just doing this top of mind. So the second to last time I saw Joan Rivers, we had a fight. So how do I know Joan Rivers? I know her from when she had a radio show at WOR Radio, where I was the assistant program director back in those days, and I would often on produce her show. In the days after 9/11, she was on in the evenings from 7 to 9 p.m., and at one point, I think the producer quit or whatever happened, but as part of my job, I was like the fill-in producer for everybody, so I wound up producing Joan Rivers for a decent stretch there after 9/11. Now, you may have forgotten, about a month after 9/11, there was the anthrax scare in New York City. New York City and media places were getting anthrax mailed to them, and it was just it was a time somewhat reminiscent of what we're going through right now. It was just a weird time, so we would come in, and comedian Joan Rivers would do a pretty serious show talking about anthrax and all the scary stuff from the fall of 2001. Also at that time, Joan had completely overbooked herself. She was doing one of the shopping channels, QVC, I think it was, and she would often go down to QVC in Pennsylvania for the day and then race back to the radio studio, or on a lot of days, she would fly up to Toronto, I believe it was, do some TV up there, and then fly back to the studio, landing at LaGuardia Airport in Queens, New York City at like 5:30 and would have to be on the radio show at 7. We're still before iPhones here, so I couldn't really communicate with her too easily. So I would take my best guess as to what does Joan want to talk about tonight. So on this particular day, she came in at like 2 seconds before air. Maybe she was on from 6 to 8. Anyway, it was like 2 seconds before we were supposed to go on. And I go, here's the rundown for today. I booked this and this and this and this and this. And Joan wasn't her best self and kind of snapped at me and said all the guests were garbage and she didn't want to do them. Blah, blah, blah. And I just looked at her and I went, I don't know what the fuck to tell you. Then we're doing open phones. Be entertaining for 2 hours. I'll screen calls. And that was it. And I don't really remember the rest of it. I remember snapping back at her. And we did a radio show. And I think that was the last time I worked with her because I'm kind of a douche. And if you come at me like that, I just like, fuck it. I don't want to work with you anymore. And I probably assigned somebody else to do with it. Luckily for me, a few years later, I got to see Joan again. It would have sucked if that was our last thing. Because she was great. I'll talk more about the radio show in a while. But when I was at Sirius, we had an opportunity to possibly do something with Joan, maybe a radio show on one of the comedy channels. I forget the details, but I found myself up at Joan's apartment on Fifth Avenue and, I don't know, 60-something street, 70-something street. Like the really, of all the nice parts of Fifth Avenue, the really nice part where you would think Joan Rivers would live in an upper floor apartment. And her apartment was, you know, filled with just like stuff. Just imagine what you think Joan Rivers' apartment would look like. Just like stuff you've collected over a career. I don't mean like, you know, Emmys and stuff. Just like tchotchkes. It was a very New York-y kind of apartment. If you're from the city and you know what those like big New York City old apartments look like, she had one of those. She asked me if I wanted some iced tea. I did. And Joan had the most delicious homemade iced tea you'd ever have. And none of that past baggage or, you know, she's Joan Rivers. Who the fuck am I? She probably didn't remember that I snapped at her 5-10 years earlier. But it was just nice to have a really pleasant, upbeat conversation with Joan Rivers at home, being a normal person, you know, not being a celebrity, just being polite and upbeat and funny and gracious and all the good things you would ever say about a person. So I'm glad we had that last moment. So back to the radio show, I always appreciated the way she worked. She was a master of timing. She would work with two writers, and they would sit with her in the radio studio. And she had, like, the young guy who would, like, have hip references and knew what was going on today. And then she had the older guy who was, you know, a standard, typical joke writer. And, boy, to watch her work, they would come in, they would take some sheets of paper, and they would cut them up into little pieces. Actually, Jamie Foxx's team works the same exact way. So you come in, just a regular sheet of paper, and you chop it up in little pieces. And then the writers just have these things. And then if somebody thinks of a joke, they would scribble it down and just pass it to Joan. But boy, I saw Joan score on jokes that she had, you know, probably no idea what it meant. If we were doing this in 2020, you know, she might be riffing like, you know, hey, coronavirus, something, something. And somebody would pass her a note that says, like on TikTok, and she would deliver that and make it hilarious and probably not even know what TikTok meant. But she could just nail a joke on pure timing. It was just great to watch. And that's it. Those are my Joan Rivers stories. Glad I got to work with her. I've had a lot of interesting encounters over the years doing this, and just I've been talking about Joan on the pod and thought I'd share that today. That's all I got for you. Nice weekend filler for me. Hit subscribe on the pod, and I'll see you tomorrow.